John chapter number 8 and verse number 44. I'm going to read the scriptures, and then especially those of you that are members here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church, we're going to have, we pray after we read the scriptures. I'm going to ask in a special way that you pray for this service and pray for your preacher. I'll just tell you this, I've done this a long time. Anytime that a preacher preaches on the devil and the church decides they're going to spend a weekend exposing the devil, I can promise you there's increased satanic activity. I'm not spooky, but I believe in the invisible creation. And you know what? We want God in control of this service. We want the angels of heaven to guard over this service. And we want God to accomplish some supernatural things in this service. Already some good things are happening. Brother Dively gave me the name of a young man that was saved right after Sunday school in his Sunday school class. I had the privilege of seeing, I hope I don't embarrass you, Lulu, but it's good to see you in church. She visited here some time back. We were able to stop by her house. She received Jesus Christ as her Savior. She's come to church this morning. You know, these kind of things just lift the heart of a preacher. We've seen a lot of folks here that is visitors. I mean, good things are happening. But boy, this is it. And young men, let me have your attention right here on the front. This is the most important thing of the day. And I need you to sit up straight and tall. Young ladies, listen to everything. It's not play around time or goof time. It's listening time. And I won't keep you long, but everything that I say is going to be very, very important because it's from the Bible. And so we're going to read our scripture and then we're going to pray. I'll preach to you for a bit. John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus said this, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Dear God, help me as I preach, dear Lord. Be with our other services. And dear God, in a very special way, Lord, may your Holy Spirit have freedom in this service. And Lord, we invite him. We want him here. Jesus, you said where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So we know you're here today. And we ask, Lord, please, that you would empower the preaching, speak to hearts. And I pray, dear God, that people would not just listen to the preacher and the words I would say, but they would listen to God as he speaks to their hearts specifically about what is said. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Listen very careful, because what I'm going to say in introduction is not just true for the young people, although I'm going to address the young people, but it's true for every single adult in here. Look right up here and let me help you with something. Probably one of the most underrated sins of all of the Bible is the sin of lying. The sin of lying. People have packaged lying in such a way as if it's a minor offense or a minor sin. You have phrases such as, well, they just told a little white lie. Folks, listen to me. I think you're going to find out, according to the Bible, that no sin is little and no sin is white. Matter of fact, the Bible says that every time that we tell a lie, we have to interact with the devil in producing that lie. Now think about this, young people. I want you to take serious this. Mom and dad ask you a question, and you know what? You don't want to get in trouble. And so what you do is you tell a quote-unquote little white lie. Listen to me. The Bible says that the devil is the father of all lies. And a lot of times people say, well, you know what? Man, you don't want to play around with Ouija boards. You don't want to play around with tarot cards. Man, I wouldn't let my kid go to a seance. I wouldn't want to monkey around with any of that occult stuff, because here's what we say. That can open some doors of influence, satanic doors of influence into our lives. Let me tell you this, folks. The thing that opens more satanic doors in the life of Christians is the sin of lying. The sin of lying. I'm going to preach on this subject this morning. Satan, the master of deception. Satan, the master of deceptions. Statistics, I read the statistics. I don't know what statistics are worth. But statistics provided by the Fuller Institute says this. This will shock you. The average American will tell 23 lies every day. Now, I thought, how did they get that information? Because if they asked them, wouldn't they just lie about it? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they put a tape recorder on them, and then at the end of the day, they counted it up. You say, no, that's crazy, preacher. Wait, watch this. Let's define what the truth is. You know, when you go to court, and if you're going to go to the witness stand, they have you put your hand on the Bible and your right hand up in the air, and they have you say something like this: I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And see, a lot of times we think a lie is only when we tell a complete falsehood, the exact opposite of the truth. But the law recognizes a lie as being not just a falsehood, but the truth, the whole truth. In other words, don't leave anything out. Young people, if you go home and you want to tell something that happened to school because you're mad at one of your friends and you want to get them in trouble, and by the way, you tell the truth, but you don't tell the whole truth. They did this to me, they did this to me, the teacher did this, but you don't tell what you did to cause the teacher to get on you, then you know what? You lied. Well, I didn't. Yes, you did. Not if you didn't tell the whole truth. And then the Bible says nothing but the truth. And sometimes the honest truth is people will exaggerate things. They'll not only leave out part of it, they'll add some things that maybe didn't happen. We have a whole nation that I think are so insecure that they're always, every story they tell, they got to exaggerate it to make themselves seem bigger or greater than the story possibly was. Listen, I don't doubt that statistic. I work with people all the time. Now, what's happening in our country? Our country has lost respect for the truth. For the truth. And the more that you are willing to lie, and the more that you're willing to accept lies, the bigger target we come as a culture for the devil, because he is the master of deceit. Now, let me just establish this. Jesus and the truth are synonymous. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, for we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace, but yes, full of truth. John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus saying unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Pilate therefore said unto him in John 18, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Ephesians 4:21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And what he's saying, I think we need an old-fashioned revival amongst our young people and our adults of just a commitment to telling the truth and following the truth and believing the truth. If it's become very easy for you to lie, it has opened some doors of satanic influence into your life, because the Bible says the devil is the father of all lies. Now, I want to just expose him for who he is and help you this morning. The devil is a deceiver. Deceiver. The word deceive means to make someone believe what is not true, to fool them or to trick them or to mislead them. And I'm going to go ahead and say this right from the beginning, but a lot of people have been tricked into hell by the devil. He's a deceiver. In Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. The Bible says in Revelation 20, he's going to be cast into the lake of fire, and they cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. Revelation 20:10, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone. So he's a deceiver. He's a liar. We just read in our text verse that ye are of your father the devil, lust of your father will you do. It goes on to say that there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar. A liar. And Satan is very successful, number three, at both. He's a deceiver, he's a liar, and he is very successful at both. You say, how do you know he's successful in getting the most of the people to believe his deceit, most of the people to buy into his life? How do you know that? Because of what Jesus said in Matthew 7. Listen to this. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And so, you know what Jesus said? Most of the people, many of the people, the Broadway is filled with people that have been deceived by the devil and has bought into their lives and is walking towards an eternal destruction in a devil's hell. Narrow is the way. And very few are on the path where they have truly found Jesus and truly embraced the truth of the gospel. Now, that tells me he's very good at what he does. Well, by the way, that tells me that you could be sitting here today thinking that you're just fine and you're not. That you could be sitting here today believing something that's not true. The devil's good at what he does. Now, I'm going to expose him this morning. I want you to open your heart to what the Holy Spirit of God is going to say to you. I'm going to ask you to let the Word of God minister to your heart and listen to what God says, because you don't want to be tricked by the devil. The devil's the deceiver. He's a liar. He spent all of human history convincing men and women, teenagers and children, that they're all right when they are not all right. He tells them, you're safe when they're in eternal danger. He tells them, you're heaven bound, don't worry about it, when the truth is that every second that passes draws them closer to hell. He tells them, you're good. By the way, we're all sinners. He tells them not to worry. Don't even think about it. Just go live your life. When in truth, that listen to me, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, you should be terrified that your next breath could be your last. Satan tells you you can always get saved later. When in truth, if you do not know that you're 100% saved, you shouldn't wait till this sermon's over. Listen, I wouldn't take a chance on eternity. He will never say to you, don't ever get saved. He'll just say, not today. Wait, put it off, some other time. And he'll do that till he uses the tool of procrastination to cause you to end up forever in hell. Now listen to what I'm going to say this morning, because I want to expose. You said, preacher, you said broad is the way. And that the Bible, Jesus said that most people are heading in the wrong direction. Most people are on a road where they're living every day of their life and they think they're just fine. And they're not! The Bible says narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Few that be there find it. Could it be that I'm on that road? How does the devil fool and trick so many people and ended up finding out 1 second after they die that they believed a lie? And they lift up their eyes in hell. Well, let me tell you how he's so good at what he does. Number one, Satan deceives many people into trusting in their, here's the word, it might shock you, in their religion. In their religion. Religion has sent more people to hell than all the taverns, all the houses of ill repute, all the back alley bars and temples of temptation. Man's religion, false religion, has sent people to hell by the truckload. What, preacher, what is religion? Religion, by definition, is an adopted system of beliefs. False religion, then by definition, is an adopted system of beliefs that are false. They offer hope, but it's a false hope. They may soothe the conscience, but they do not save the soul. They may even be sincerely believed, but that sincerity is placed in a lie of the devil wrapped in formalism and catechism. John chapter 3, we see a man who was a religious man by the name of Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You know what? Jesus was talking to a religious man. Not just a man who attended the synagogue, not just a man who attended the church gathering, but a man who taught in that church gathering, a leader in that church gathering. And he comes to Jesus by night and he says, starts talking to Jesus, and Jesus points at him and says, except a man be born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. He had religion, but he didn't have salvation. My dad, who God used to start this church back in 1973, gave us his testimony that, you know what, when he was a young man, he attended church. His mom and dad took him to church, sent him to church. When he got to be about 12 years of age, his mom said to him, you really ought to go forward and get baptized and join the church. So he shrugged his shoulders and said, okay. walked forward. The preacher said, "Why'd you come? I want to get baptized, join the church." They baptized him. They joined. They put his name on the church roll. He was baptized. He was a church member, but nobody ever showed him how to be saved. You know, a lot of times it worries me when I ask this question. I'll ask somebody, "Do you know if you die today, you know 100% sure you go to heaven?" They'll say, "Oh, yeah, I think I would. I'm pretty sure I would." I'll say, "Why do you believe that you would?" And you know what a lot of times they'll start talking about? "Well, I was baptized," or "I joined a church," or "I was in the hospital once and I had an operation, and you know what, God, He took care of me. I prayed and asked Him to help me to get better, and He did." Well, I'm glad, but you know what? That's not what salvation is. Jesus was very specific. "Except a man be born again." Think about that. What's that mean? Born again. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Stay with me. Are you trusting in Jesus as your Savior, or are you trusting in religion? Jesus went on to say this to Nicodemus. He said, "But as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3:16. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." You know what He was saying? Jesus was saying, young people, watch this. You know what He was saying? You're trusting in your religion. You're trusting in your church attendance. You're trusting the fact that you're a Pharisee and a leader and a ruler of the Jews. You're trusting in your religious activity, what you do in your church, and you've never truly been born again. You've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You say, "Preacher, you said something about baptism." Folks, baptism's never saved anyone. Baptism's the first step of obedience after you're saved. It does show that it's an outward way of showing people that you have been saved. If you think about baptism, it represents the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, if you get baptized and you've never truly put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you just went into that baptistry lost and dry and left lost and wet. Listen, except a man be born again, you cannot enter in the kingdom of heaven. You can join every church in Greene County. And you know what? Split hell wide open. I'm being honest with you, folks. Listen, what happens a lot of times, people get tied up in religion. They put their faith in a religion. Religion is why you can't get some people lost enough to get saved. I'll knock on the door sometime. I'm out visiting. I'll say, "Hey, I'm from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'd like to invite you to church. I'd like to ask you a question. You know Jesus Christ is your Savior?" And they'll say this, "I'm Catholic." As if that's the end of the conversation. "I'm Catholic." Or, "I'm Mormon." Or, "I'm Jehovah's Witness." As if that's the end of the conversation. I look at them and say, "I'm Baptist." Guess what? There's saved Baptists and there's lost Baptists. There's saved Catholics, there's lost Catholics. What I'm saying is this, folks, listen, it's not what you are, it's what you've done in your heart. Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? What do you mean, preacher? I mean, has there been a time in your life where the Holy Spirit's convicted you of your sin? You realize that you are without hope except for what Jesus did on the cross for you? Do you recognize Him as the one who died for your sins? I can't save me. I could spend the rest of my life being religious, but I can't save myself. Only Jesus can save me. Stay with me. We're going to keep going here. Number one, Satan deceives them into trusting in their religion. Number two, Satan deceives them into trusting in their own righteousness. Satan likes to appeal to the pride of man. By the way, watch this. He may be whispering something like this in your ear right now. "Who does that preacher think he is? I'm not that bad of a person. I try to help my neighbor. I'm probably better than that preacher is. I'm a good citizen. I pay my taxes. I give money to charity now and then. I try to help widow ladies. I try to help people in my family." Watch this, folks. Stay with me. The devil might be saying, "Who does he think he is telling me I'm going to hell?" You know what Satan says? And I've watched people do it. Satan sometimes says, "Get mad, walk out. Don't let anybody talk to you that way or tell you you're not good enough to go to heaven." Now listen to me, folks. The truth is, there has never been a man or woman who is good enough to go to heaven by themselves. If Jerry Ross got what I deserve today, I would go to a devil's hell. Because you know what? No matter how much good you try to do, your good doesn't erase the fact that you've also sinned. And I can spend the rest of my life trying to do good, but it doesn't erase the fact that I'm a sinner. That's something we all have in common. And we have to understand that. We have to be willing to accept that. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. How about 1 John 1:8? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. How about Romans 10:1-3? Brother, my heart's desire and prayer for to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. How about Ephesians 2:8-9? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What he's saying, preacher, I'm saying this, folks, please listen to me. According to the Bible, if we were good enough to save ourselves, then why would God have to send Jesus to go through that torture that He went through? He came down because none of us have a chance without Jesus. And you know why He came? He came to die on the cross to pay for our sins. And you know what? We were hopeless. You're never going to get saved till you realize that without Jesus and what He did, you are hopelessly lost. Well, I don't need Jesus. You're going to find out a second after you die that you did need Jesus. Listen, He loves you. God loves you. I told our Sunday school class this earlier. You know, Jesus, God only had one son, His only begotten son. And He looked down at a bunch of people that were going to take His son and spit in His face and put a crown of thorns on His head and beat on His head, slap Him and buffet Him with their fists, pull His beard out of their face, tie Him to a stake, and give Him 39 lashes with a cat of nine tails, and then mock Him and laugh at Him and jeer Him all the way to the cross, lay Him down on a piece of wood and drive nails in His hands and His feet, and God in heaven stood by and let them do that to His Son because He loved you that much and He loved me that much. Listen, I've got three girls. I've got three daughters. I'll be honest with you. I don't think I love anybody in this world enough to let something like that happen to them if I could stop it. And God could have stopped it. I hope that you're feeling right now how much God loves you. I want you to understand, Jesus did that for you. God did that for you. If you could have been saved without that happening, God would have never let it happen. There's nothing in me that's good enough to earn heaven. Because heaven's a perfect place. And Jerry Ross is a sinner. And if Jerry Ross the sinner goes into a perfect place, guess what? It's no longer a perfect place unless those sins have been forgiven and washed away and cleansed. And the Bible says, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no erasing of the sin. And so Jesus said, I love this guy and this guy and this guy and I love the human race enough that even though they're not born yet, and you know what? Jesus died on the cross for everybody that ever was born, ever lived when and ever would be born. He knew in His heart and in His mind that we would one day live. He put every sin that I ever committed on the cross and He paid for them and died. That's love. That's love. The devil sometimes will come to you and say, nobody loves you. He's a liar. God loves you. Jesus loved you. He didn't have to let them do that to Him. They came to Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And they said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. Where is He? We seek Jesus of Nazareth. And you know what He says? He says, I am. And you know what? As soon as He said that, the Bible says all those Roman soldiers fell backwards. Just with Him saying two words, I am. Boom. Then he asked him again, who seek ye? I think the second time they'd be a little afraid to answer now, you know. Don't tell me Jesus didn't have the power to walk away from the cross. He didn't have to go through that. He did it because He loved Billy. He did it because He loved Christina. Amen. He did it because He loved Katie. Amen. Isn't this good? He did it because He loved you. He loved you enough to get you here to church this morning. He loved you enough to give you an opportunity to hear the gospel if you're not saved. Say, preacher, I think most people in this room, aren't they saved? Oh, probably most of them are, but there's probably some that aren't. Hey, I remember walking into church and I was lost. I walked into church several times lost. Sat out there and tried to figure out what the preacher's talking about. Man, when the preacher would preach, I began to feel things going on in my heart that I didn't understand. I mean, it half scared me. And I didn't realize till later, it wasn't just what the preacher was saying. It's what God was doing with the Word of God that was being preached. And man, I began to fall more and more under conviction of sin. Realized, hey, if I die without Jesus, I'm going to spend an eternity in hell. I don't have to do that. Jesus loved me so much. Listen, right now, I promise you, the devil's busy. And he's whispering every lie he can whisper. You've got to decide, are you going to believe the truth as it's found in the Bible? Or are you going to keep listening to the devil and end up in a devil's hell? Listen, folks, he's not only a deceiver. He is a liar. He deceives men into trusting their religion, trusting their own righteousness. Let me give you the last one. He deceives them into trusting their immortality. That's a fable. Anybody know of anybody that's 200 years old? Anybody know anybody that's 150 years old? Anybody know anybody 120 years old? 100? All right, okay. I do too. All right, not much more than that. Come on, how many know Mrs. Vessel? Come on. All right. We got one in our church. We made it. Now watch this. When you're young children, young people, teenagers especially, you think, I'm going to live forever. I'm never going to get old like that guy up there screaming at me right now. I am never going to be that way. And you know what the truth is? You are. And there's not one of us going to live forever. And so, you know what? If you have breath in you, okay, and the health and the sanity right now to make a decision for Jesus Christ, please do it. Because you're not going to live forever. Well, preacher, I'll wait till I'm older. Walk through any cemetery in Greene County. Look at the tombstones. You know what? It's not just old people that die. Young adults die. Watch this. Teenagers die. Come on now. Everybody in here can stand up and tell a story about some teenager that never got his teeth 20. Watch this. I'm not trying to be unkind. Children die. What I'm saying is, we're not promised tomorrow. Nobody knows. Folks, listen. This could be my last day on planet Earth. The way things are going, I don't even sound that bad anymore. Because I'm saved. That's why I can say that. I'm saved. It's not that I wouldn't miss my wife and miss seeing some things and miss my church, but good night, folks. When you're saved and you're born again, you can lay your head on your pillow at night and say, you know what, no matter what happens to me, if I don't wake up here, I'll wake up in heaven. What I want you to ask yourself is a simple question. Come on. If you'll look at where you're at right now in the timeline of your life, here's where you were born, here's where you are right now. I want you to go back in your mind and search that timeline. Was there ever a place, come on, let's be honest. Be honest with God. Please be honest with God. Is there ever a place you can point back to and look at and say, you know, there was a time when I was convicted by God of my sin. I fell under conviction. I knew I was a sinner. I felt convicted of that sin. And you know what? I understood that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. He was buried. He rose again. He did that for me. And the Bible says that if I would trust in Him with all my heart, put my faith and trust in Him with all my heart, all I have to do is ask Him and He would save me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, I talked about walking into church lost. I did. I was a little guy. I didn't understand any of it. Thank God for Sunday school teachers. Thank God for children's church workers where some of your children are right now and people that take the Bible and teach salvation on a level that they can understand. And you know what? Pretty soon, I began to listen to the preacher and listen to the Sunday school teacher and they talked about hell and they talked about sin and they talked about heaven and they talked about Jesus and they talked about what He did for me and it all came together one Sunday and I was convicted in my heart and knew I needed to be saved and I stepped out and during the invitation to the nearest aisle I walked forward and said to the preacher, I need to be saved. And you know what, folks, listen, the old preacher, this is a full house, look at this church, and that would be an embarrassing thing to do. Let me tell you something. If you're not saved today, everybody in this room is rooting for you, okay? You're amongst friends. You know what people are going to do if you get saved this morning? Rejoice and be glad. You'll have a sore arm when you leave here from everybody shaking your hand, pat you on the back. Hey, you made the right decision. Listen, you're amongst friends. And I will tell you this. If you're given the opportunity to be saved and you're not saved, oh, please, take that opportunity. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Please, nobody looking around. We don't want to embarrass anybody. But I do want to speak to your heart for just a second. I want to ask you a question. If you were to die right now, do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? I don't mean you think so, maybe, might. You know. You can give me a Bible answer, a Bible reason. Preacher, I searched the timeline of my life. I know I can go back in my memory. I know there was a time and a place when God convicted me of my sin and I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know that I'm born again. Can you say that this morning? Maybe you are where I were when I was young. You come to church. You heard the gospel. Preacher, there's things going on in my heart right now I don't even understand. But God is dealing with my heart. He's convicting me. He's convincing me of my need to be saved. Preacher, I can't say I know for sure. I can't lay my head on my pillow at night and know that if something were to happen, I'd go to heaven. I just don't know. Well, listen, folks, there's nothing wrong with that. But if God's dealing with your heart, you can take care of that today. You can be saved today. Somebody would say this morning, by the way, I'll pray for you. I won't call you by name. I promise you, we don't go get people. I just want to pray for you. How many say, preacher, I don't think I'm saved. I honestly don't think I'm saved, but God is dealing with my heart. I'm not sure that I'm saved. God's dealing with my heart this morning. And I want to listen to what God has to say. Preacher, just pray for me because God is working on my heart about this matter of getting saved. If you're here today and you're not saved and you'd like me to pray for you in just a second, and I won't embarrass you, I won't call your name, but I'll pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Preacher, I don't think I'm saved. I see hands there, many all over the auditorium. God bless you for your honesty. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you over here. God bless you up here. God bless you back there, young lady. God bless you back here to my left. God bless you. I see your hand. You can put your hands down. Make sure I didn't miss anybody. Preacher, I should have raised my hand and I didn't, but boy, I'm going to raise it right now. I didn't a second ago, but I'm going to raise it right now. I need you to pray for me too. I'm not saved. Anybody else? So, winners, I'm going to need you to be ready, okay? In just a minute, we're going to give an invitation. Let me tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to have the piano player in just a moment begin to play the piano. I'm going to pray for you. I promise you what, I'm going to pray for you first. If you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to do something that takes some courage. I'm going to ask you to come forward, and I want you to meet Brother Jack Gordon up here and Brother Chad Gordon up here. And if you're a lady, they'll get a lady to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a man, they'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Just a few minutes right here before you leave church, you can know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Preacher, what happened when you went forward when you were a young person? I walked up. You know what? Somebody shook my hand. They knelt down on an altar, opened their Bible, and showed me the verses so that I knew for sure that I needed to be saved. They prayed with me, and I called and asked Jesus to be my Savior. And folks, not one second since then have I had any doubt that I'm going to heaven because God settled it in my heart that day. A peace comes with that. Those of you that just raised your hand, as soon as we stand here in just a minute and sing, I pray that you'll come forward. Just step to the nearest aisle and come. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would bless, dear God, the rest of this invitation. These folks trusted this preacher enough to raise their hand and say, pray for me. God's dealing with my heart. I don't think I'm saved. I pray, Lord, that they would leave here today on victory side, dear God. They'd get that settled. Don't let them listen to any lie of the devil. He'd try to get them to walk out of here lost. Don't let them, Lord, listen to anything he has to say. Help them to listen only to you. And I pray, Lord, as we begin our invitation, that they'd step out of their seat to the nearest aisle, walk right up here so that we can use the Bible to lead them to Christ and to salvation. We pray these things in Jesus' name.